Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Hey, everybody. I'm here today with Carl Harris, and he's the newly installed chairman of the National Association of Home Builders. Hey, Carl. Welcome to the Home Building Hero.
Thanks, David. Thanks for inviting me to share your podcast.
Fantastic. Well, a lot of people may not know you outside of the NAHB circle, so why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Certainly. I'm a small volume spec and custom home builder in the Wichita, Kansas market. So my family started our company in 1985. My father, my mother, my sister, wife, you know, just it's a family business. Now it's being ran by my wife and my sister and myself.
Excellent. And what type of homes do you typically build? I know you said kind of semi-custom, smaller. Are you high-end, move-up?
No, we think we're right there in the middle. We're our typical home is a 5-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 2-bath up with two beds and a bath and a family room in the basement. Normally sells in the mid-400s.
Okay.
In our market. And so we build in the Newton, Kansas market and then the Manhattan, Kansas market.
Okay. And overall, how is the market performing by you guys? Is it pretty solid or?
Well, it's slow right now. It's a lot of what we're seeing. We just got a contract on a house that had been setting about 4 months. And before we hadn't had a house set more than 30 or 45 days if it hadn't sold in the finishing process. So,
okay. Yeah, I think rates have went up recently and, you know, I think everyone's waiting for that, the Fed to do their first official cut. And I think that'll change things a little bit, but we're also getting in the spring market. So maybe it'll perk up a little bit for both of us. We're in the same boat.
Yeah. Our economists are telling us that home builder sentiment is up, starts are up. That's good to see. I think even the reports that came out today are showing that people are feeling better about it. But I think that's a forward-looking market when the starts go in the ground that people think when homes are finished 6 to 8 months from now that the interest rate will be a lot better for our members and their clients.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about NAHB because this is obviously a big change in your life to now be chairman of that organization. It's a 130,000 plus member organization. So first of all, tell everybody kind of what NAHB does, and then we can kind of talk more about your role specifically within the organization.
Certainly. NAHB is one part. It's the federal part of what we call the Federation. When someone joins the National Association of Home Builders, they actually join at the local level. In our market, it's the Wichita Area Builders Association. So that's one leg of the stool. When they join that, they also belong to the Kansas Building Industry Association, which is the state association. And then the Federation, headed up by the National Association of Home Builders, each one has their part. So it's put up together just like our government is. Things that happen locally are governed locally, things that happen at the state level, and then nationally. So over-encompassing National Association of Home Builders kind of handles things at the federal level while helping out states and locals because that's where members join. So we want to be a resource for each one of those. So
fantastic. And so obviously there's a lot of things that we do besides just being a resource for local. So what are some of the other things that the important work that NAHB does for, so we have a lot of people that listen in that either are not in the building industry, but we also have people that are, you know, in the industry, but they're maybe not as active at, you know, their local or state levels.
Absolutely, David. So, you know, one thing to realize is that governments don't build housing. builders build houses, right? And so the motto at the National Association of Home Builders is building homes, enriching communities, changing lives. If we don't take the first step, houses aren't going to get built. So we actually have to petition government to allow us to build in their jurisdictions, right? And so the National Association of Home Builders continues to work with jurisdictions about, you know, best management practices on zoning and working with our builders to help that work. We have mortgage roundtables so that we can make sure that our customers have the financing available. So NEHB really takes the overarching view to make sure that there is an environment out there that's conducive. Right now, it really looks like home ownership is under attack, in that housing attainability is just so much harder. One example I like to use is 2 years ago, the average price of a new home across the country was $340,000. And with that came a household payment of $1,700. Well, now that same house built today has an average new home price of $430,000, but the payment has doubled to now $3,400. And so the amount of income it takes to reasonably afford a $3,400 house payment is significant. So we start locking people out. And we can talk about a number of things that are causing that. Regulation, I know we both were at the International Builders Show in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. We saw the staggering number that $93,000 of the cost of a brand new home is directly attributed to government intervention. So that's regulation, zoning, all of the parts in which the government is stepping in. And we're trying to build a market-based product.
Correct. Yeah, no, you hit it right on the head. Great answer on that. The 93,000 is local, state, and federal regulation onto the cost of a house before you've ever put a shovel in the ground.
Absolutely.
And that's a staggering number. I mean, that's the cost of a brand new Corvette. That's what I tell people. And they're like, wow. Sometimes people have to visualize what that is. I want to bring back to one thing you said too. You know, we talked about obviously that staggering amount of increase in the house cost, the staggering amount of the payment. I saw some data, I think it was yesterday, it came through on Twitter, that 4 years ago, the average amount of income you needed to afford a home was like $55,000. It's over $105,000 now. So that's what we're kind of talking about dollars-wise, and we are definitely squeezing out that next generation from being able to buy a house.
Yeah, and I think that could have staggering ramifications on the American dream, right? If you take a look at home equity, how home equity has climbed, and people have been locked into their homes because their current interest rate, their value may be there, but if they were to try to replace it, they'd have to go out and get another loan of significant increase. But I think those kinds of things are trapping people into a rental situation. And with rents getting higher, it's harder and harder for those who don't own a home to save for a home. And with the prices going up, that means a higher down payment. That means a bigger monthly payment. It's just a big challenge.
Absolutely. Well, that's why we have you here to help at NEHB. So shifting gears a little bit, let's just talk a bit about your journey to becoming chairman at NEHB. What was that like? How did you kind of start getting involved with HBAs, and then what led you obviously to this position?
Well, we had a customer that we were doing some work for, and this customer says, you're doing really good work, but if you want to do any more of my work, you'll become affiliated with the Wichita Area Builders Association. So I belonged to my local association about 2 years before I ever stepped in its front door, because I just thought it was a cost of doing business. But the more I began to learn about what my local association was doing for me as the go-between, watching my back as local politicians and code officials were truly affecting my business. So I got involved and joined the the legislative committee and the government affairs committee of my local association, and they saw I was pretty excited about that. They actually helped me get elected as mayor of the small community I live in called Newton, Kansas.
We'll have to call you mayor from now on.
Yeah, I don't mind being called a has-been mayor. It's part of a 12-step program right now. I realized I had a problem and I'm working through those steps, but no. So I got involved with that, worked my way up, in the late 90s on the ladder of my local association, truly involved in membership and the retention of membership, because we all know, just like I did, people join locally because there are local benefits. The way that we work with each other, the things that are both taught and caught with other builders, who are much smarter, much more experienced than either one of us might have when we first got in the business. And then the same thing happened at the state association. Got involved, became a state rep to the National Association of Home Builders, started serving on committees. I do some commercial work, so I chaired the Commercial Builders Council of NEHB, which is no longer there. It's one of the few things that NEHB got rid of, but
It always seems like it gets bigger. It's like the government, right? It just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
But and since then I kind of worked my way through committees like federal government affairs, state and local government affairs, served on conventions and resolutions, had an opportunity to chair BuildPAC, and that is our political action committee for NEHB or for the residential construction market. And that really opened my eyes about how much we were doing for everybody. And and that's when people started approaching me, hey, I think that you'd be really good. You should think about that. And a person needs to make sure that their business is ready, their family is ready, that you're ready to take on a role for this, because it's a 5-year job. I'm chairman this year, but for the last 3 years, it was third vice chair, second vice chair, first vice chair, and next year, the immediate past chair. So it is 5 years of significant travel, because you want to get out there and get to meet the members, see how you can be a resource for the members.
Yeah, so, and basically you're volunteering to do this, correct?
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's there's a travel budget that gets out there and they take care of a number of expenses, but yeah, it is a volunteer position. It's
absolutely
not a salary.
Yeah, and
position.
You're spending time away from your business, and you know, but at the same time, I think, you know, it's very honorable because you're giving back, you know, to the entire industry, and you're servicing and looking out for everybody. And to be honest, I can't think of a better guy than you to do that. So I appreciate you stepping up to that challenge and being there and being the guy this year to help put housing first in front of everybody.
Well, thanks.
So
David,
now we've kind of talked about that, like, could you explain, like, how do you still kind of manage your business and your building business while you do that? Cause that thing doesn't go away, right? You leave on a plane to go somewhere else, the business still has to be there, right? So how have you worked through that with your company?
Well, I have great support. Like I said, I work with my sister and my wife every day. I've been married for 40 years. I've worked every day with my wife for 39. They handle the office. They make sure that the bills are getting paid and the payroll is going out and they're making sure things happen. You know, when you're managing, a lot of it can be done remotely, either on the computer with Zoom calls or telephone calls as I coordinate work and handle the logistics on projects. But also in the field, I have other family members. I have a brother-in-law runs a crew. My sister's nephews from previous marriage, they run
recruit the whole family, right?
Truly a family business. When I was testifying about OSHA in front of Congress one time, they said, well, don't you care about your employees? I had to stop them and say, you got to understand that our employee list looks a whole lot a lot like the invite list to Thanksgiving. You gotta understand this is all family. Don't ever think that we don't care about our employees now more than ever.
That's a great answer to that. I appreciate that. So kind of got the picture of what you're doing, you know, personally now and with your business. As far as the role as chairman of NAHB, what is your main focus for the year this year? What if you said at the end of the year, we got this done or this happened, it would be a success. What does that look like?
Well, we're in the first year of a new strategic plan, but the strategic plan just continues to focus the National Association of Home Builders on a number of things. You know, I said earlier, building homes, enriching communities, changing lives. For our number one goal is to make sure that we're preserving and making available home ownership. And that only comes when we build homes. The second part of that is to make sure our members are successful and that we give them the tools to be successful, however they describe it, whether they are a nonprofit builder like Habitat for Humanity. So it's not about profits, it's about success. It may be about market reach or whatever. So we want to do that. So the strategic plan really speaks to that. And that is, how do we strengthen the Federation? How do I get your local and my local the resources they need to be successful in their market and to help their members be successful? So that's one. The second is to grow membership. Because as we grow membership, it's the value of membership is more than just the incremental value each one of our locals get from the extra dues they receive. It's the outreach each one of those members brings in both political strength and local strength and volunteerism and service to our community, those kinds of things. And what we can do to elevate NAHB as the go-to in regard to home ownership and single family housing. Because if we're not building housing, who is? Do we want to rely on the government to tell you the kind of house you can live in or where you can live, or it's got to be multifamily? Whatever your choice is, we want to be that. We want to be that go-to, that repository of information of best management practices, as well as the best kinds of governance to make that happen.
That's a great explanation of it. And we also talked about this a little bit. We actually had Jim Tobin on a couple of weeks ago too on the podcast. So he kind of explained a lot of that as well. So that's really kind of cool to hear it from both sides, not only a member that's become the chairman, but also the CEO of the organization. And I appreciate the new vision for the organization. It's very clear, the priorities and what we should be working on. And I think what a lot of people can take out of this is that there are a lot of people putting time and effort in to promote and protect housing. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there is so many different groups out there, but we all come together under the umbrella of NAHB. And NAHB is the one that has our back federally. So anytime there's something coming out of Washington, D.C., that's where NAHB really gets involved. But they do get involved at the state level if there's state issues and they need assistance. There's just so many things that NAHB does, correct?
Agreed. I mean, it can't be done. And you know, if someone was to ask you, why should you join your local association or be part of the federation, like not like NAHB, but specifically NAHB, and that is that you couldn't afford to do this on your own. That it takes representation at each one of those levels, local, state, national, to just to have your back, to keep you aware. I know you're well-read, David. I try to read a lot, but we cannot keep track of every regulation. At the beginning of the year, the Biden administration had announced 2,240 new regulations Wow. that they were going to start promulgating, and they wanted done before July. And so who's got a chance to see, to first cull through the list and see how many of those regulations are going to affect our types of businesses? Now, our types of businesses are more than just builders. They're suppliers and accountants that deal with this. I mean, it's everybody that feeds this industry, right? We've often said we all build because each one of those is part of a support structure to make sure that house gets built, from engineering to landscaping and everything in between, right?
Absolutely. It takes all of us. I appreciate that. And I think that's a staggering number when you told me that. And I'm sure that that was just last year. So there was also the other regulations from the year before and so on and so forth. So it just kind of keeps adding, and everybody is a part of that, the Federation. And I think that's an important takeaway for anyone is if you touch the building industry in any way, whether you're an attorney or title company or any related service business, it's important to be a part of it because we're all stronger together.
I agree.
So last question here before we wrap up, what do you think the biggest challenge of the Federation is right now that you see?
Well, I think that the challenge of the Federation is that, you know, we are so diverse, almost 140,000 members from all the jurisdictions, and we are building the lion's share of new homes out there, right? So keeping track of all the things that are coming at our members at each specific locality. And so I think, and I'm sure Mr. Tobin told you last week, whatever we can do to kind of help you fight back the NIMBYism, the not in my backyard, or I think someone said banana, don't build anything next to anything, never ever, or some whatever that is.
I gotta find out. I wrote down the acronym, but I didn't hear the last word. And so I gotta research that. But I love that. We'll dive into that one at a future topic for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's there. And how do you fight that? It's a challenge, and the escalated costs. I think even if we just asked government to let's pause on any new code, let's pause on any new regulation till we get a handle on affordability. Otherwise, we're going to relegate young families to live in substandard, sub-efficient homes. So if we, you know, just anecdotally in our community around Wichita, build about 1,200 new homes in this market is what our members built. And we have a young lady, Heidi Brandt, who's works for our local utility called Evergy. And she said, Carl's absolutely right. We're building the most efficient, most sustainable homes that have ever been built, because in the last 2 years, in a market that builds 1,200 new homes a year, we have not seen an appreciable use in electricity over those 2 years. So the electrical use demand is not coming from new houses, which are already efficient enough, that they're coming from the commercial side, the other things that aren't directly related to housing. So when you think that each of these new energy efficiency codes are just going to incrementally increase the efficiency, then that's not where the juice is worth the squeeze, David, right? Yep. It should be existing housing stock. What can we do to incentivize? Instead, we're driving up the cost of a new home. And those are the best built homes that have ever been built in America.
I couldn't put it any better. And I appreciate your answer on that. And you're speaking to the choir for sure. So I want to say thank you again to Carl Harris for joining the Home Building Hero today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, David. Have me back anytime.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.